We didn't get it all right. Absolutely not. We did not get it all right. The critiques about Yahima, absolutely right.
Hey folks, it's Karen Mahorn, aka The Blurred Girl, and welcome back to The Blurred Girl Podcast. Now, if you are a fan of HBO's hit show Lovecraft Country, then this episode is for you. This week, my guests are from the official HBO Lovecraft Country radio podcast, Ashley C. Ford and Lovecraft Country writer Shannon Houston. Now, every week on their show, they break down each episode of Lovecraft Country after it airs. What I'm doing this episode is breaking down how the show works, how they work together, and discuss some of the choices that were made in adapting the original book by Matt Ruff. We get into a lot, including some of the things that did not work on the show. I can't wait for you to hear this one. But first, let's pay some bills. Do you run a hosted website on WordPress, or is your site really slow? Have you gotten hacked in the past and you just didn't know what to do? Well, if so, you need SiteGround. Now, I am a SiteGround affiliate. I'm also a customer. In fact, I switched theblurredgirl.com over to them and never looked back. In fact, I've put other people onto them for two reasons: reliability and customer service. You can try it yourself at siteground.com/go/theblurredgirl. That's siteground.com/go/theblurredgirl. Now, unlike some other hosting sites that have a really great affiliate program and seem to be really popular, many of them don't have customer service. SiteGround has great customer service. They don't talk to you like an idiot. If you can't find something, they'll help you work through it. They have a really easy control panel, and SiteGround is really the truth. You can start hosting your site today for as low as $3.95 a month. You can run a store, a blog, anything really. And they can even move your whole existing site over for you from another hosting service, and you don't have to worry about a bunch of code and stuff. So if you've been blogging or running a website for a while now, it's time to take your site and its security seriously and move up to SiteGround. Sign up today at siteground.com/go/theblurredgirl. Hey folks, don't forget to comment and subscribe to this podcast on iTunes. That really helps my numbers. And if you love what you heard, please screenshot this episode and tag me in an Instagram story post. Now, before we get started, I just want to update you with some events that are coming up. First up, I want to give you a heads up about two new virtual comic book conventions that are coming your way. One is New York Comic Con Metaverse, which is replacing the annual live New York Comic Con at the Javits Center, and it starts October 3rd. I'm going to be on a few panels there, actually, so stay tuned for more information about that. And there is a new convention also coming in October called Afro Comic Con, and they are currently taking submissions for panels, as well as cosplay submissions. I believe in the last episode I mentioned that panel submissions were closing on the 14th. That has now been extended, but hurry, because I don't know how much longer that's going to stay open. So submissions are open for Afro Comic Con panels as well as cosplay. And for those of you who missed my 8 weeks of season one of The Blurred Girl Live, replays of the show are going to start being made available on OSNYC's Twitch channel next week. They'll be at the normal time slot, Tuesday, 8 p.m. And that's all going to be leading up to the second season, which is going to drop in October. And I will have more information for you on that in the next episode. But please, I talked to some amazing people: Orlando Jones, April Rain, Oscar winner Peter Ramsey, Oscar winner Matthew Cherry. Just some incredible conversations were had. So please, please, please check it out. And yes, there will be closed caption versions that will be dropping on YouTube as well. Now let's talk about my guests today. My guests today are Ashley Ford and Shannon Houston of Lovecraft Country Radio. This is the official podcast of HBO's hit show, Lovecraft Country. Now, if you're not familiar, this show is a supernatural horror show produced by Jordan Peele, whose showrunner is Misha Green. You should remember Misha Green from Underground. Now, before I let you hear our chat, let me tell you a little bit more about my guests. Ashley C. Ford is a writer, host, and educator who lives in Brooklyn. Her forthcoming memoir, entitled Somebody's Daughter, will be published by Flatiron Books under the imprint An Oprah Book. Ford is a correspondent for Time 100, the host of the Chronicles of Now podcast, and again, the co-host of Lovecraft Country Radio. She's also the host of the first season of Audible's literary interview series, Authorized. She has been named among Forbes magazine's 30 Under 30 in media in 2017, Brooklyn Magazine's Brooklyn 100 in 2016, and Time Out New York's New Yorkers of the Year in 2017, as well as Variety's New Power of New York in 2019. Now, Ashley's co-host, Shannon M. Houston, is a poet, critic, and TV writer. Her work has been heavily influenced by her strange times coming of age in Boston, Cleveland, and New York. Houston graduated from Sarah Lawrence College in 2011 and went on to become a pop culture writer and a professional TV and film critic. In 2016, Houston transitioned to the TV world after selling a pilot to Amazon. She has since written on Hulu's The Looming Tower, Amazon's Homecoming, Hulu's Little Fires Everywhere, HBO Max's Station 11, and HBO's Lovecraft Country. She's currently writing for the show. Her passions include visual art, music, baby making, and Black women up to no good. She lives in Southern California with her three children and their beloved turtle. In this discussion, we talk about everything from racist Lovecraft to problematic Atticus to, yes, that horrific final scene of episode 4, as well as what we love about the show, the music, the poetry, the intersectionality of Blackness. So this is really, really a great episode that I'm very happy about because we got a chance to talk to one of the writers on the show and somebody who is very well versed in actual book itself. So up next, my Lovecraft Country discussion with Ashley Ford and Shannon Houston. So welcome to the Blur Girl podcast, Shannon and Ashley. Please introduce yourselves so everybody gets familiar with your voice.
You go, Ashley.
I'm Ashley C. Ford. I am the co-host of Lovecraft Country Radio.
And I am Shannon Houston, a writer on Lovecraft Country and also co-host of Lovecraft Country Radio.
Before we dive into the show, first, how are you two? How have you been holding up during the craziness of the pandemic and everything else that's been happening? What are you relaxing with?
That's a great question. I'm okay surviving. It's really funny. Actually, I was thinking yesterday, Ashley and I recorded an episode and I was like, I'm going to miss doing this. This is a little bit or a lot of bit therapeutic. Like, we're working out a lot of our own personal stuff on the podcast. And it's actually been like a just very helpful for me during this wild and crazy time. Like, as much work as it is, it's fun work, but it also feels like good work for my soul in the year 2020.
I'm definitely gonna have to agree. I mean, I was having a hard time in the pandemic, for sure. Like, emotionally, here in Brooklyn in this one bedroom apartment with my husband and my dog, who are great.
Wait, you're in Brooklyn too?
I am in Brooklyn too.
I'm stuck here with my boyfriend and my cat, so I can relate.
You relate, you see me. You see
listen,
me.
Listen, there's it's some days been, that I'm like, ooh. Woo.
So it's been, so that has been rough, but I gotta tell you, whenever like I drag myself into this room and get everything set up, and I'm about to hang out with Shannon for a little bit, I feel good about that time. I'm never dreading that time. I'm never like, oh, I gotta go do this now. It's like, no, this is the fun part. Like, this is the fun thing I get to do. And it's always a pleasure. I always have a good time.
And I think a lot of people are looking to see a lot of things as an escape. And the thing I love about Lovecraft Country is the fact that every week, it's sort of like, because I have to watch every episode twice. So I'm so glad I got the screen.
Same.
Just watching it live and trying to tweet. That's not happening.
No.
Basically, this community that's sort of come out of this appointment television, which we now have, to sit down and watch this show and then go through all the Easter eggs. Mm-hmm. So you must be having as much fun rewatching the rest of us watch it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, like, I don't know about Shannon will actually live tweet every Sunday. I see her doing it. Like, she's in there with everybody. I poke in and out because it can be a lot for me to be perfectly honest, not want to spoil it. And also, it's like, it like almost raises my blood pressure again to watch other people watch it and to see their tweets and to see their reactions. And I'm like, ooh, they don't even know what's coming. Like, I think that's what is hard about it for me, is that I'm just like, oh, they don't even know. They don't even know what's coming. And it just, it heightens everything.
You definitely must have gone through that between episode 4 and episode 5. Now, tell us how you got involved. How did the two of you, not just with the podcast, but, you know, Shannon, you write for the show. So let's start with you, and then let's talk about how the podcast came about. Because y'all are really one of the only podcasts I listen to, because there's like 347 podcasts, and I don't have the time or the patience.
So I had been a TV writer at that point for a year and a half. I had moved over from full-time TV and film criticism to full-time TV writing. And I met with Misha at the end of 2017, and she talked to me about her plans for adapting the book. I'd read the book at that point, and I was obsessed with her. There's just no way around it. I loved Underground. I had written recaps for Underground that had turned into like these long essays. Underground was very similar. I had to watch it like 2.5 times to get my reviews correct, and never felt like I got it all, but I was so excited to meet with her and so excited about her vision and so thrilled to be a part of it. So in 2018, we started the writer's room, and it was a 6-month writer's room, and it was a difficult, powerful, incredible, amazing experience. And then as we were leading into the premiere, at the beginning of the summer, we started talking about a podcast with HBO, and they gave me a few names, and I said, whoever is on this podcast with me, like, they have to be ready to go deep. They have to be ready to go dark. They have to be ready and willing to critique the show, because I'm open to that too, and I want that too. And when I looked at all the names of the people, I was like, I think it's her. I think that's the one. And I was fucking right. And Ashley's name had come up on this short list. And I was just like, I think she's the one.
Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty much it.
Like, and then, that's it. That's how I got my job.
And the rest is history. Well, they reached out to me, and I was already super excited about the Lovecraft Country adaptation. I was excited about Misha. I was excited about, you know, Jordan and JJ being involved. I was so excited about it being on HBO. So the fact that this show was even happening, like, I was a fan. Like, I was ready to stand way before I ever had any involvement. So when they reached out to see if I had any interest, I was like, of course there's interest. You know what I mean? And then they let me watch a little, get an idea of how I felt about it, you know, just to make sure I wanted to be involved. And from, like, obviously, I was like, yeah, I want to talk about this. I want to talk about this right now. I want to talk about this with you. I want to talk about this with everybody. I'm mad that everybody hasn't seen it yet. Like, and that feeling of wanting to talk about it and wanting to go deep on it, they assured me was what they wanted. So that made me feel really good about going into it. I had looked up, you know, a Miss Shannon Houston just to like see what she was on, because I didn't know. Like, you know, she could be on anything. She could be on anything. But I looked at him and I was like, okay, I think I would really get along with this person. I think I would like this person. And then from the first time we talked about the show, I realized that, like, yeah, I could talk to her about this every week, multiple times a week, and not feel in any way burdened or overwhelmed by that. Like, it would just always be an adventure. And that's what's been the case so far, is that every time we sit down to talk about this show, it feels like an adventure.
You know how a lot of podcasts for shows, they will do them sometimes 6 months, sometimes a year in advance before they drop. Y'all are still recording.
So, yes.
But I mean, obviously you've seen everything.
Not me.
Really?
I'm recording each episode as long as I can until they're like, Ashley, you have to do two at a time or something like that. As long as they let me, I'm watching each episode like the same week that we record. And I'm not jumping ahead. I don't want the future of what's going to happen in my reactions right now. I just want to do it one at a time. And that's been working out so far.
Yeah.
So
okay.
Keep doing it that way.
Shannon, you started this journey in 2018. So what does it feel like when you thought, oh my God, I don't know how I'm going to get through writing the scene or how we're going to get this episode out, to the reality of the vortex of crazy that we're living in now?
I'm not going to lie. Something about it feels right. Like it was a chaotic, wonderful, crazy experience in the writer's room. And this is a chaotic, sometimes wonderful, crazy experience of a year. And it feels right. It feels right after the Black uprising at the end of June started. And I remember thinking, I cannot believe Lovecraft Country is coming out this year. And I feel like this show requires you to have some fire under you. I feel like this show, to understand our characters, requires you to be a little bit angry or a lot angry about some things happening in the world. And I think that 2020 just feels like a year where everybody's a little angrier than they were before. And that's for like the entire country. And me being the kind of person I am, I'm like, good, let's all sit with that and let's watch Lovecraft Country and get really angry and do something. So it's strange, but I also always say, you know, when people talk about the timeliness, I'm like, it was timely in 2018 when we were working on it. It was timely if it had come out that year, if it had come out in 2019, if it had come out in 2014, if it had come out 50 years ago. That's also like the sad truth. So it does feel right. And it also sucks because I don't want the show to be timely.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I remember even the first episode, people were like, God, I can't believe there were sundown towns. And people were like, were.
Yeah.
Again, I remember somebody responded to my tweet. They were like, Stairs and Watchmen. I'm like, I know. Here we go again.
Yeah. Here we go.
Glasses in session.
Yep.
Is it interesting on the show between both of you with your dynamic, Shannon? You know everything that happened because you helped write the show. Mm-hmm. And watching Ashley have these reactions, do you in the show, like, or behind the scenes where we can't hear, say, listen, it's going to be fine?
I've never said those words.
Nope.
It's not going to be fine. This is Love Our Country.
Listen, I love working with Shannon, but let's be honest. She has never offered me a reassurance at any given time. Anytime I've been like, Shannon, she's like, yeah. You know, like that gif that's like Jack Nicholson, like going like this, like the it's just getting closer.
Nodding,
like,
yes.
That's her. She's like, yeah, keep going, you know? And she really eggs it on, which is wild, given that she don't even mess with horror movies like that. But
yeah,
she enjoys my reaction.
The funny thing is, I don't really mess with horror movies. I can deal with zombies. That's why Five Over Breakfast was a mistake. Watching episode 5 over breakfast, I don't regret much in my life, but that is a regret. Yes. But I will say that I can take even Jordan Peele's brand of horror, which is psychological horror. Mm-hmm. The things that this show, the emotional roller coaster that this show puts so many of us through, and because it's HBO, we don't have those commercial breaks to take a breath. Let's talk about some of those really heavy things that you both are dealing with in the show. Let's start with Lovecraft. And I'm starting here because I have not read the book. My boyfriend is a huge fan of Lovecraft, but I know the history of the man. So I was like, what are we doing? What is happening? When I first saw, because I didn't know the book. And I purposely didn't read it. Because I'm going to, at the end of the first season, I'm going to read it, but I didn't want to read it. Cause I do that. Yeah. All the adaptations, I work a lot in like the comic book space and stuff like that. Every other adaptation, it's like, but that wasn't like, and I didn't want to do that. So looking at Lovecraft, the man, and then basically taking ownership of that poem that you read in your first episode. What is it like, that juxtaposition? How do you juxtapose that man and what he stood for with his work?
Well, I'll say, and we've been asked this question before, and I feel like, you know, Lovecraft isn't a strange concept to me because I'm like, well, this whole country is made up of white men with some kind of talent who are also racist. So I'm like, 99% of the things that we love that come from that demographic likely come from a problematic person. Like, that's just the space that we exist in. So there's that. And then there's also, I think that some people got the idea that every day we came into the writer's room and we said, now, how are we going to take down Lovecraft this week? How are we going to take an idea that he had and we're going to flip it on its head and we're going to make it black? And we didn't do that per se. I don't even think his name came up that much because we were working from the book and we knew we had to know the book very well. And of course we needed to know the history of that person and the worlds that he built and the monsters that he invented that we're still using today and pulling on today. So all of that was there, but it wasn't like that was our primary goal. We're going to take all the things that he did and flip them. It wasn't really like that. And of course, that is naturally happening just by virtue of the fact that Black people are in the show and Black people are making the show. But I mean, the show is a direct attack against racism, period. So if that's what Lovecraft represents and that is one of the things he represents, then yes, of course we're playing with that. But I think we were more interested in actually like, let's take all the things we love about horror and sci-fi and family drama stories and let's put them all into this show, and we're going to do it by, you know, it's a playground. So that feeling that you feel of like, oh my God, there's so much happening. This episode felt like this and this episode felt like that. Yeah, it was meant to be that way, partly because of the way the book by Matt Ruff is set up, but also because Misha was like, it's HBO and we're going to have a $1 billion. And so we're going to play around in as many genre spaces as we can. And of course there was always that moment where she would be like, guys, it's HBO, but we don't have that much money. We can't build that set. We can't do that. Scale it back. So that happened.
It's so layered, basically. So you have the story. You have what's going on in the story in the book, but then you have the setting. So what was going on then? And then you have the Lovecraft Easter eggs. Mm-hmm. Like the Shoggoths, and I'm telling you, in episode 4 when they were walking across that bridge that was disappearing, I thought Dagon was going to come up and eat them completely. Lost my mind. The Raiders of the Lost Ark episode, I call it. Yes. I think that was the one that Vic Mahoney did, right?
Yes.
And then also this layer of Easter eggs of history. And I love that because normally in comic book movies, we're looking for Easter eggs of fake things that happened in lore. The Easter eggs in this show really happened.
Right.
Like, and was there somebody responsible for just writing that stuff? Like, was there some person that's like, okay, I'm going to work just with the prop person and see how many of these things that we can get in here?
Not me.
Not me either. That's a great question. I think it was all of our responsibilities. So in the writer's room, breaking the episodes, a lot of those Easter eggs had already planned in the room and in like writing our drafts. That was always something Misha would say, like, what are the references? Where are they? We've got the characters, we've got our big events that are happening, but then like, what are those little added things that we can put in to excite people? And that part was always really fun. Cause again, that was about like, what is the stuff that we love that we want to like give a nod to? What's the stuff that was happening in real life that was terrible that we want to give a nod to? What are those iconic images that we want people to be able to pull on or go back to? And then, yes, I wasn't involved in the production period, but I suspect that then there was the added layer of, okay, now we have these people on board and they're going to put their spin on it. And they're going to add their things. I saw, I don't know his real name. I think it's Brian Beatty, but it's Brian Beatty Hare on Instagram. And he posted a picture of Ruby the other day that was inspired by Lucille Ball. And I was like, that's also a great part of what's happening. I'm like, I don't know everything about the show. There's a lot that I don't know. There's references that people are pointing out on Twitter that I'm like, oh my God, that's so cool. Didn't know that either. So that was a moment where I was like, okay, that's awesome. So you brought in an incredible hairdresser who's like, oh yeah, I know some looks from that period of time and pulling on that. So the team that Misha assembled, ultimately everybody was putting in, I think, their own Easter eggs.
Ashley, let's talk about horror a little bit, because there's so many different horror shows. She's like, this is my section. So there are so many horror tropes that are in this, but some of those tropes are flipped. Tell us about some of your favorites.
I mean, I am a big fan of the Holy Ghost episode. Huge, huge fan of watching Letty grapple with herself as, you know, on the podcast, we talk about her as Dracula, you know, in that she comes, like she was dead and now she has been reborn, you know, but there's part of her, obviously, like throughout that episode, you see that still feels separate, that still feels apart, that still feels like she knows what it was like to be dead. You know what I mean? Which is something most living people don't have. And I think seeing that play out across that episode and seeing her transformation and her evolution from the beginning of that episode as being, you know, so performative as she tends to be, like it's a very Letty thing, into being a feeling, you know, like ancestor calling, like ferocity of a person, like she became a ferocity, you know, and there's nothing, what is more, like the only thing better than living, maybe, I guess, like is living and in doing so being able to bring peace to the dead, you know, like in that sense. It was just gorgeous. Like, I think it flipped the Dracula idea on its head. You know, like maybe, I don't know. Like, it made me really think about our myths, to be perfectly honest, and how we can change them in any way we want to. Because there are so many people who would think like, but that's not how Dracula went in the book, or that's not how vampires work. And it hits me like all of a sudden, as it should, that like, you know what? A vampire, if I write about a vampire could be whatever the fuck I want it to
Thank
be.
You. And if you want me to believe that there's a vampire running through the woods looking like covered with diamonds, we can do this.
We can do that. We can do that. And to be honest, as a, like, and I watched the Twilight movie, okay? I read the books. I have seen them all. It just, nothing about, it doesn't take anything away from those books. No. That like the rules of being a vampire are different than I had understood them up until that point. It just serves the story. And I think that's a big part of what I love with Lovecraft Country is that like, yeah, I guess there are rules in these places and in this universe and to Lovecraft's monsters or Lovecraft stories, but this is about flipping those on their head. And it's about expanding our imaginations, and who could be mad at that unless you just really like having a limited imagination, which sounds sad.
Well, that's like Tuesday on Twitter. It happens. But I will say about that episode, because it was so funny, she called Oya's name and I was like, oh, we're going here. Okay. And my boyfriend's Haitian, and she started speaking straight Creole. He was like, So we both, literally that whole episode, we were like,
oh. Okay.
The thing about Holy Ghost also, that whole concept of we're supposed to be scared of ghosts, and ghosts are evil, and ghosts are terrible, and ghosts are horrible, unless it's the Holy Ghost. Let's talk a little bit more about that scene, because there was a character that was introduced that was like a lot of people, again, I didn't read the book. So Hiram Epstein was the evil ghost that had been torturing these people and reanimating them, another Lovecraft trope there.
Right.
When he was alive. And I don't know the character in the book, but apparently he was different and he had a different backstory. You had read the book, Ashley, and you were not in the writer's room. Were you surprised by that change?
No, because I wasn't surprised by any of the changes. Like I never expect for a film or TV adaptation to really have, except for like, please don't change the main character.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Or something like that. Like anything else to me seems like it is always subject to change. It didn't really make me feel like, oh, this is different. It just made me feel like, okay, this is a choice. Like a choice that was made. It didn't feel like it had anything attached to it. Did you feel like it, like, oh, you haven't read the book though?
No, I didn't read the book. And that's, so for me, I didn't think there was anything strange about it. Yes, he had a Jewish name, but all these people that were in my mentions, they were like, oh my God, they would never have let a Jew into one of these secret societies. Why are they saying this? They didn't say that he let him into a secret society. They just said he tortured Black people, which I can assure you, a lot of white people have tortured Black people that were doctors. Like, as right, a Black woman, right, I can say that. But there was all of this chatter about, how about you, Shannon? Do you remember there being a conscious effort for people saying, we have to change this character? Or is that spoiling something we're going to see?
No, I think a couple of things are happening. One, if you're attached to the book, get unattached. Like, you should have gotten unattached by episode two.
Let it go.
And again, the book was our jumping off point, and we knew the book well. I knew it better in 2018 than I do now, but I think, so there's that part of, like, this isn't like other adaptations. We are literally jumping into outer space with what Matt Ruff did. And so there's that. Then there's also, I think the other thing that's happening, which is kind of cool, but people are reading into things that actually aren't things. So his name, I think his name in the book was Hiram Winthrop, and we changed the name to Hiram Epstein. But also, my understanding is that Hiram itself is a Jewish name. It's not an uncommon name.
That's what I thought too.
The idea that we changed the name to put more of an emphasis on it is strange. Also, I think all of the last names are different on our show from the book because of legal issues. Not issues, but just legal. That's what happens. So there's that. And then I think in the book, Letty and Hiram come to some sort of agreement, and we didn't do that. And I guess people are mad about that. But again, I'm like, you're going to be mad about 5,000 things, especially if those things are related to why did they change that from the book. But again, also that doesn't really bother me, because again, it's like, I'm glad you're reading into every single level of the show, because a lot of times there are levels, but it's like I loved this one, episode 4, the little boy in the library reading Journey to the Center of the Earth. People were like, oh my gosh, there's a time machine thing. He's little Atticus or something. And I was like, oh, that's so awesome. It's not true. He was just like a cute little boy that we wanted in the library. And yes, we did want him reading that book because Atticus says the line later when they're in the tunnels. But he was just like a really cute little boy. But who knows, season 2, who knows what might happen. So so yes, people are seeing extra layers sometimes when it's a little bit simpler, and that's okay.
And here's the thing, I want that little boy to have his own show anyway. He was
same.
So upset.
Wasn't he amazing?
He was everything.
I was like, I want that to be my son. I just like, at the library, just letting people know, shut up.
Be quiet.
I'm reading.
Let's talk about some of the main characters a little bit. Letty and Tick. Let's start there. We touched on Letty a little bit. Now that she's been brought back, reanimated, resurrected. Tick. It's interesting because Tick gained a superpower in the first episode and is like not using it. Tick is a very complicated character. Yeah. Now, is it me or is he problematic on many levels?
It is not you.
Well, I'm going to say it's not you. Yes, for sure. I'm going to say it's not you. I'm going to say trust that. Like, trust yourself. Watch these characters. Respond to these characters. Like, one of the things that I love about this show, and I think that if you're going to enjoy this show, you have to be invested in as an idea, is that these are human beings, flawed, very, very flawed human beings, who are going to do things like flawed human beings do. Like, sometimes the people who save us are just people who find themselves in those circumstances. And there maybe is something in their blood that makes them special, but also sometimes it's just that they're there and that these are the people that this happened to. And now that's what we're dealing with. So I guess the question is, like, for me, it's like, do you want to watch what happens when some essentially, you know, like regular degler ass Black folks find themselves in some extra special situations.
Right.
Because what's happening to them doesn't change who they've been before.
Right. I love that. And I also think, like, we did talk in the room about the hero in every show and the hero in every movie and how we didn't want a hero like that. We didn't want any of our characters to feel perfect or to feel like, oh, they mean well, they just can't get it. Like, no, sometimes they do terrible things and we don't beg you to forgive them necessarily. So I think in that sense, we are trying to, and we didn't talk about it that much in the room as like, our goal is to redefine the hero. But now stepping back from the show, I'm like, oh, that is clearly what's happening over the course of this season. We're trying to redefine the hero. And that means we're trying to redefine storytelling too.
And I also love how, as these characters are developing, we are seeing this diversity of voices. Because I'm like, all Black folks don't think alike. All Black folks don't do the same things.
Right.
I'm so excited also by Hippolyta's daughter. Because that would be me reading the comics. She's so, she makes me so happy. But the just the concept of, we see things so differently, even within our families, each of you. Do you, even, and it's hard for you, I know, Shannon, because you were there for so much of it, you know how they were developing. But did each of you, do each of you have a character that you root for? Like, she thinks like I do, or he thinks like I do.
Yeah. For me, that character is Letty.
Ooh.
For me, that character is absolutely Letty.
I didn't know that. I love this question.
True. It's true. It's Letty. And it is because, like, in any given moment, like, Letty is the person who I feel like, even if I kind of understand where anybody else is coming from, what Letty decides to do is more likely to be what I would have decided to do in that moment. And I think just having that particular connection of like, yeah, girl, I get it. Like, oh, they got us, girl. They got, you know what I mean? Like, just having that, I get it. And I really do enjoy watching her. I've really enjoyed watching her trajectory so far on the show. Yeah, I just feel, I have really strong feelings about Letty. I do. And,
well, I'm getting a little tired of them making her go first for everything, but yes.
But hey, don't all Black women get tired of being forced to go first? Don't we get a little tired sometimes, ladies? It's danger. We're Come on, tired. Sis. Run up there and face the danger for us real quick.
She is. And also, voice of reason. That's why I wanted to slap Montrose, and he was like, I was gonna let you come out here by yourself with no backup. Meanwhile, Letty's way ahead of them in episode 4. But Shannon, who's your favorite?
So my first answer is Hippolyta, and we'll find out more later on why. But being the mom, not the only mom in the room, but definitely the mom with the most kids. I'm always the mom with the most kids in every room. I wish people would start having more babies, because
I gotta ask, how many kids do you have?
There's only 3 of them. There's 3 boys, but
you made it sound like you had 7 children. I'm like, oh my God.
That's how I feel whenever I have yet to be in a writer's room where anybody has more kids than me. Many other spaces, I'm like, y'all sitting over here with 1 or 2 kids and I look crazy. But it's also because they're all boys and they're pretty close in age. So sometimes it feels like 7. But so I love Hippolyta, and I love a suspicious woman. I love a woman who's like, y'all are lying and I'm about to go off. But who's, you know, like, her anger is the tearing out the pages of George's favorite book. That's how my anger manifests itself. I wish I could be more Letty Atticus, but it doesn't come out that way. I'm like, I'm going to quietly destroy an item that is important to somebody and journal about it later.
And I'm kicking shit over.
Like, that's that. Exactly.
Yeah.
But I'll also say, when I started the writer's room, the character that I was least into was Ruby. And that changed a lot. Mm-hmm. I was like, I don't want to tell the story. I don't like this chapter in the book. I don't know why she did this. And then when we really like started digging into why I didn't like her and what I was responding to. And then when we started breaking episode 5, I was like, this is my queen. I love her. Ruby, she's crazy, but I love her. And I think to like the way I would say it is like, I also love a person who's like, hi, hello, I'm done living in polite society. I'm going to get what's mine. And I'm like, ooh, you're crazy. I like you. Let's hang out. So that's how I feel about Ruby now. I feel very, very close to her. And of course, like, you know, like Letty is iconic. But Letty almost makes too much sense. So I'm like, you're perfect. I can't get there. I'm somewhere in the space of Hippolyta and Ruby, I think.
No, you know what's really funny? And simply because it's horror and also because I've watched too much like zombie stuff recently, I keep thinking that like she's fine now, but one day her arm's gonna fall off. Like I'm just like, I'm like, I can't, like American Gods or something. Like, right.
Anything is possible.
So,
I love that.
So, but it's really funny. I am quietly rooting for Hippolyta because also it's not lost on me that her name is Hippolyta and her daughter's name Diana. Love that. But you don't put Anjanou Ellis in a role and make her sit.
No, you don't.
Do that. So I'm like, y'all don't know. We about to see it. And then when she showed up at the thing with all the food, I didn't realize people were bringing her food. I thought she was dress baking. I was like, baby girl is letting it all.
Yes.
And I love a good stress bake. A good stress pie. Good stress apple pie, let me tell you. But I think the other thing, this is, horror is all about many times putting things on screen, but if a horror movie is written really well, you can't turn away, you know? And I really feel like Lovecraft is very good at that because there are things that they're doing with racism and homophobia and transphobia and misogyny, misogynoir, and everything that are horrible, but you can't look away. And what do you say to the people that are having like a hard time? Like, I can't do it. Like, I can't. I mean, the way this particular character was treated, I can't come back for more of this. I want to hear both of your perspectives on this.
You know, even for me, like I love horror, but there are elements of the show that have been really hard for me to watch and really hard for me to accept. Like, absolutely. And I think what I've had to do in a lot of those cases is A, always take care of myself first, which I encourage anybody to do. And B, I always try to think about every part of a situation. I think when you know a certain kind of pain, when you feel a certain kind of pain, when you see how shit is playing out in the world and on the streets, and then you see it play out on the TV, you can definitely end up feeling like it is an attack on you. Like it is an attack on your sensibilities, like it is an attack on an identity, on a place in the world, all of those things. But with the benefit of the doubt, I think you see very clearly what this means to the show in context as you go further along. What it means about this character, what it means about this world, what it means about how these characters live in this world and who these characters are going to continue to be in this world, which is complicated. Your feelings are going to be complicated. And I always encourage people to do the best thing for them first. But second, I ask you to just not even like open your mind, but essentially try to look at a situation from all perspectives and specifically from the perspective of the story. So give it a chance to get all of the context before you judge a story. If you have that in you, if you have that kind of grace and space in you.
Mm. Yeah, I love the if, because my first reaction was, don't watch it. Like if you're like, this is too much, because there's violence against marginalized people in every single episode. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you forget because Lovecraft has great music and like Letty's busting the windows out and you feel empowered. And then there's always this moment where your stomach hurts. And so that's my first thing. I'm like, I wouldn't tell anybody you have to watch this show.
Right.
Don't worry, it's all worth it in the end. Like, people, we go through a lot. People are going through a lot in 2020. Like, mm-hmm. if all you can do is watch Living Single, which
just
is
watch my Living Single.
And watch Lovecraft Country, from what I understand, will be on HBO for a long time. And if it's not your cup of tea, it's not your cup of tea. And also, along the lines of what Ashley was saying, we didn't get it all right. Absolutely not. We did not get it all right. The critiques about Yahima, absolutely right. A lot of what I read a great piece on The Root, and I was like, you're right, when I read that piece about episode 4. That's how I felt.
For people listening who aren't quite sure, Yahima was the character who said they were two-spirit.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That was under some debate. I am not queer, I'm not a member of the queer community, so I don't want to comment on it, but there have been definitely some, not just outcries, because the character's no longer there.
I mean, that was really, I remember coming to record the episode or to talk about the episode after I watched it. And that was one of the first things I said, was that was hard for me.
Yeah.
Made me so upset, because Yahima was there and I was so excited to see Yahima there as a character. And then Yahima was gone. And that was tough for me. And I can see how that might be for some people so tough that they don't want to continue. And I think, like Shannon said, like I said, like, if that's the case, please don't, like,
right.
Because you need to take care of yourself. You need to take care of you. And if you saw that and it upset you and you feel like you want to keep seeing what's going on, keep watching, keep seeing what's going on. See if it feels different to you within the context of the rest of the show. It might not, but at least you'll know for sure. And there are things about the rest of the show that I think you don't want to miss, but that's really up to you. And you know you better than anybody else. So I always tell people to trust themselves.
Yeah, and sometimes it's not, you know, It's not worth it. That's what I'm saying. I'm like, I'm not going to sit here and be like, this show is going to change your life. Even though in my soul, I'm like, this show is going to change your life. But I'm like, but to ask you to sit through uncomfortable things is, and again, I always have to remind myself, Shannon, you worked on the show for 6 months. Like, you talked about these scenes for 6 months. You went home and thought about them. You dreamt about them. You talked to your family about certain things. Like, you've had so much time to sit with this, and also you worked on the show, so of course my initial reaction is oh my god, no, people have to watch it, they have to watch it. But that's because I wrote on it and because I do love the show, and I do think, and but again, like, just to reiterate, I'm like, no, it's not a perfect show, and I, as a critic, former full-time critic, now still part-time, I love a drag. I love a well done, like, we're dragging you for this. You had us, we were rooting for you, and now we have to drag you for something, especially, like I said, a well done, well thought out, like, I watched the show, I didn't miss a beat, and you still messed up. I will read every single one of those pieces, and I will sit with them and think about what it means. And I like that people are also going, guess what? We don't care that Black people made this and Black people are in it, and a Black woman is the showrunner. You still have to listen to us, and you still have to think about X, Y, and Z.
It is good. Thank you for addressing that and addressing the fact that, hey, it's not perfect, because I have sat in front of this very mic and had conversations with people that will say, no, that's my dream and you should accept it. If you can't accept it, you don't deserve to watch it. And it's like, right. No, that's actually not how art works, but thanks.
Nope.
That's not even how community works, how relationships work, you know, whatever. Like, and I'm not a writer on the show, right? So it's like, I get to experience this as a viewer. I get to, you know, feel these things and then come and talk to somebody who worked on it. And I try not to, though I think I do at times, like, I try not to get too caught up in the privilege of that. Because there are things that in my mind, I want to go like, oh, I wish you could talk to this person about it. Like, I know you felt weird about this and that, and separate from the Yahima situation. Because I think the Yahima situation was pretty universally, at least among the people I talked to, it's like a misstep. Like, it's like, we don't like that, right? But there are other elements of the show that people have taken issue with that I'm like, man, I really wish you could talk to Shannon about this part. Because I also in my head thought I didn't like that. And then Shannon said something that it went, oh, and then all of a sudden I understood it so much better. But that's such a privilege as a viewer that most viewers don't get. So I love hearing what other people are seeing and what they're getting from it. Because to be perfectly honest, they're catching more than I catch. And in some cases, and they're also like challenging me and really holding my feet to the fire as a viewer to like think beyond like my privilege of having like this opportunity to like really dig deep with the people who actually created the show.
So Ashley, you're like me, you're sort of seeing it week to week. What are you looking forward to seeing in the show? And then Shannon, I got to hear your non-spoilery thing that we should keep our eye out for looking for.
I am really looking forward to getting some more information about what happened to Montrose and George before Tick was there. I'm really excited to be able to get some answers on that because I'm always like, whenever I see trauma playing out in a family from parent to child, I'm like, but that's not where it started. Mm. It started somewhere before that. And I want to know. I want to know where it started. I want to know how we got here. So I'm excited to.
Yeah. Hurt people, hurt people. Because you can see him grappling with the fact, like, I'm scared for my child, but I do not know how to express that.
And how many people know that? How many people have watched their parent do something that by all measures played out like by like anger.
Yeah.
Like you looked into your parents' eyes and
they're terrified. It. Terrified. Yeah. That was my dad. My dad was one of those people who he graduated from Harvard class in 1960, but he grew up in Jacksonville, Florida. And the way he acted around cops, I was so confused. Mm-hmm. Because in the house, we could be anything. We were smart. We were this, we were that. But his physical reaction anytime there was a person, a white man of authority around was complete. He would throw any of us under the bus.
Yeah.
And it took me years and years to understand and even getting to know more about his family to go, moving forward, this is how we protect you. The world isn't going to treat you as a little black child very good. So we're going to beat that innocence out of you so that you go out there with eyes wide open, not realizing that you're laying in a whole another layer of trauma.
Yep.
So
you said it.
It's a lot. So Shannon, what are you looking for? I mean, I know you're looking forward to everything we get to see with Hippolyta. Is there anything else that you want us to?
Diana too. Diana, you know, like if you're feeling a vibe.
Wonder Woman.
Diana in these comics, like I'm excited to see people see Diana in new ways, and I just definitely getting those answers that Ashley's looking for. I'm excited for that. It's really hard to do this without spoiling, but I live for the reactions. I live for the think pieces. I live for the deep dives. Like I think every episode deserves at least like a 15-page review. And I know everybody doesn't have time for that, but I'm looking forward to those things to see what's going to come out of this, you know, like the show is done. The show has been created. So I'm really looking forward to what everybody else has to say. The artwork that I'm seeing, like if you think I'm not on Instagram at 2 a.m., looking under the hashtag and just like, I have a whole folder of just artwork that I'm saving, sketches, like all of that stuff. I love seeing the conversations, whether those conversations are happening on Twitter or creative conversations, like what everybody is going to write after they experience this. Like that's the kind of stuff that I'm really excited about.
It's wonderful.
My last question, and you can each pick how you want to answer this, because there's been so many great quotes and poems in all these episodes and so much great music. Mm. So favorite track and why, and favorite poem or speech and why.
That's good.
Oh my God.
I have mine. I can go.
Okay. Go, go, Shannon, go.
Hands down, favorite musical moment, episode 5, Cardi B, Bodak Yellow. I mean, iconic. So that just makes me feel so good. And favorite poem, I'll just, I don't even want to say, but there's a future episode that uses an incredible poem that I wasn't even familiar with by, don't want to say the name of the person either, a great poem in a future episode that will haunt my dreams for the rest of my life. That poem.
I need you to DM me when it drops so that I know it's what it is.
How about you, Ash? I feel like you're going to know. I feel like the episode's going to air and you're going to be like, that has to be the one Shannon was talking about. But yes, I'll DM you.
I'm going to be honest. I'm blanking on the name of the song and I feel really bad because
who's the artist?
I've known it. Oh my God. Both of my moments are from the Holy Ghost episode because I really love the opening of the Holy Ghost episode. With that monologue by
it's Laomi Maldonado's Nike ad. And it's Precious Ebony's voice.
Yes, and it's Precious Ebony's voice. And I just like, oh my, it was so gorgeous. Like that moment was super gorgeous to me. And then the song that was playing when Letty was breaking out the windows, the gospel song that I listen to all the time, like after it happened. I gotta Dorinda find Clark. It on my phone. Dorinda Clark, because I keep thinking Karen Clark, but that's because
Clark sisters.
Yes. Dorinda Clark, like when that song was playing and she was breaking out, I was like, yes. Yeah, like that to me, that's what the Holy Spirit looks like. Mm-hmm. Like that's what the Holy, like to me, like if somebody got the Holy Spirit and started doing that, I would understand the experience of getting the Holy Spirit more.
Yeah.
Because that looks like, that looks to me like what it looks like.
That was a possession. I think it's funny. I thought my favorite was James Baldwin for episode 1, but I got to go back to episode 5, Into Saki Shange. For Color Girls. And I know For Color Girls, those are my favorite. I'm like, what?
Yeah,
and I just think it was so funny because Ruby, every time she transformed, there was a Cardi song in that episode, and I cried. So yeah, I'm gonna also say Bodak Yellow. Thank you both so much for hanging out with me. Well, I could have talked about this show for like 3 hours. I actually think I want to have both of you back after the season finale so that we can talk about all the things. But thank you so much for hanging out. Please tell everybody where they can send their fan art of love. Ashley, where can they find you on social?
I'm on Instagram at Smash Fizzle, and I'm on Twitter as I Smash Fizzle.
And I am on Instagram at Shannon M. Houston Official, and I'm on Twitter at Shannon M. Houston.
Thank you both. Can't wait to see more of these episodes and the end of this season. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. This was so great.
I am so happy that Shannon addressed the violence towards Indigenous women in episode 4. And I was surprised that she actually apologized for it. For the record, I was able to get this interview through HBO and they were aware of her statements. So I don't think her apology is isolated or pandering in any way. I really believe it was an honest one. I mean, they gave her permission to truly speak her mind. And it was a misstep. I agree. A very good show made a very bad decision. Whether or not you choose to continue watching the show or not, I encourage you to educate yourself and learn more about people who are Indigenous and Two-Spirit through the Native Justice Coalition. They specifically have a Two-Spirit program that defines the term in this way. Two-Spirit is an umbrella pan-Native American term. It describes gender identity, gender expression, and/or sexual orientation. Some Two-Spirits may align with colonial LGBTQ+ identities, while others may not. However, keep in mind that Two-Spirit is not for non-Native people. I will repeat that. Two-Spirit is not for non-Native people. I really encourage all of you to check out their website. And if you do identify as Two-Spirit and you are Indigenous, there are resources there for you that I hope will help you. And if you're not, please make a donation to the organization if you can. I'm sure they would appreciate that. And they're doing some great work. I will put a link to the organization in the show notes. Please let me know on social media how you like this podcast. Also, please support my coffee page at coffeeko-fi.com/theblurgirl. And if you really like this episode, don't forget to screenshot it and tag me in IG stories with your favorite part. Please stay safe, wash your hands, and keep your eye on the Blur Girl Twitter page for some more great things that are coming up. See you on the internet.